We appreciate those who took care of the teaching and the service while we were gone. To see my parents in Tennessee who are ailing. We're glad to be back. We're glad to be with everyone and have the opportunity for just a few minutes to study again from the Word of God regarding the family. And we have two more lessons, and then we'll move on to other things and have our gospel meeting the 21st and 22nd of this month of July. But today we want to begin to look at some principles that guide a righteous family. But before we do that, we'll briefly review what we covered last two Sundays, or 3 weeks ago. We studied that there's a repeating cycle, that if it's not intervened, something intervenes to stop it, such as the gospel of Christ, then you're going to have a repeating cycle of sin that takes place. And we looked at examples of that from the Word of God. And then we looked at some unrighteous principles, and those unrighteous principles that guide the family that is not serving God, they include human authority above divine authority, what I say goes, not caring about what God says, human wisdom above divine wisdom, that is trusting in those things of the world from which ungodly values come and guide us, outside family image above doing what is right, as long as everything looks okay, then it is okay. No personal responsibility is taken for sin. And so it just continues on, and there are no consequences seemingly for sin that takes place in the family. Sin is covered up and justified instead of being acknowledged and repented of. Chief loyalty to family and not to Christ, not to the Lord. That's what happens. Family first. Whatever family demands of me, then I submit to that. If that goes against Christ, then so it goes against Christ. That's what we studied, and that's what guides us, part of what guides us if we're not serving God. But as Christians, we must put off these sinful principles, and we must replace them with righteous thinking and behavior. The Lord intended that we practice righteousness in our families so that children may also learn to do right as well. And even if we're the only ones in our families, if we make up our minds to devote ourselves to the Lord and serve Him, then we can have a great influence for good in relation to our family and beyond. In this lesson, this week and next week, Lord willing, what we have in mind, righteousness is from one generation to another. That is, the same way sin can be carried on from one generation, then so can righteousness. Examples of righteous principles, and we will begin noting some of those this morning. The Lord instructs us that we are to train children up for the purpose that they might follow Him and also teach their children to follow Him as well. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the emphasis is on putting into the mouth of a child those things that are of God, that he may follow those things, that she may follow those things, get in the habit of learning and following those things, that they may not depart from them when they are old. And then a beautiful passage from the 78th Psalm. The 78th Psalm in verse 4. 78th Psalm in verse 4. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Did you hear him? He commanded Israel to teach that law of Moses to their children. Well, he commands us to teach the gospel to children, our children today. But then look at the phrasing as he goes on. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know, and then this wonderful phrase, even the children yet to be born. Even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. A beautiful, beautiful wording in the Old Testament. That the generation in the future, the children yet to be born, that they may be trained, that they may teach the children they will have in the future. In the United States, we're trying to abort every child we can abort. 50 million over the past 40 years, above 50 million, whatever the number is, God knows every soul that has been destroyed or that they tried to destroy, that is in God's, the paradise eternal, that is in the world after this one in paradise. But we have a culture of death for the most part that does not see the benefit of having children for the most part, with some exceptions. And hopefully Christians will not be discouraged that they will not have children in that sense, but this is to teach children that they may be able to serve God and teach their children. That they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So even in the Old Testament, teach your children that they may teach theirs. Joshua was an example of one who not only influenced his generation, but the one who came after him because of his faithfulness to God and his willingness to teach his family. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, Joshua said, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river, that is the river Jordan, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice he didn't say, if you serve the Lord, we'll follow you. No, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in verse 31, an amazing passage, Joshua 24:31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Joshua influenced a generation and one after him because of his faithfulness to God and the example that he set. And God intends that to be the case, that we not only look at our own generation, but we start thinking about the future, and we start thinking about our children, and we stop living selfish, sinful lives, getting what we want in this life and not being concerned about our children spiritually. This is a great challenge, but it's one that we must meet, that they may be taught. The greatest legacy that we can leave children is a faith in God, is a faith in the Lord Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit. Samson's parents, they desired to teach their son, but they desired that that teaching be of God, not of idols. Judges 13 and verse 8, Judges 13:8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, Please let the man of God whom you have sent come to us again, that he may teach us, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. That is Samson, one of the great judges of Israel, one of the great men of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But they said, we need the prophet's help. We need the man of God. We want the help from God so that we know how to teach our child. We don't need any help from the world to teach our children. In fact, they will help us destroy our children. We need to know and understand what is in the Word of God, and that is wholly sufficient for us to know how to behave in our families, how to teach our children, that they may be faithful even to teach their own children in the future. Timothy's grandmother and mother's righteous influence. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. For I am mindful, Paul says, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. That is this love of the Scripture and desire to follow God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. You, however, Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom, he says, from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Everything that we need to know to please God is found in His Word, and that's the purpose for which we were created, that we might please Him while we remain here upon the earth. And so righteousness can spread from one generation to the next, and it would be wonderful that after we die, if the Lord does not come, and after we die, that our influence may live on in children, grandchildren, in other members of the church, and to those in the world, and it might be an influence for good. It might be a righteous influence where we said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to follow the world. Not going to follow what you're doing. We want you to follow what we're doing. That's the type of individuals that we need to be if we're going to have righteous families. Notice some of the righteous principles that we should follow as Christians in our families and in our lives. As we practice these things, we become light to our families and we become light to the church and to the world. With the Lord's help, no matter what our family situation is, we can do what is right and to His glory and have an influence upon those in the family as well as others. Unlike the unrighteous family, divine authority is to be above human authority. That is, what we do and how we live is shaped by God's Word and by God's authority, not by human authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17, as we read in the beginning of these lessons, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, try to compete with your husbands and try to prove that you're a man. Is that what that says? That's what the world tells us. Colossians 3:18, wives. Does that mean every wife? Wives? Does that mean all wives who would claim to be Christians? Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It's because the Lord said it, not because I say it. Because the Lord said it by His authority. And husbands, mistreat our wives because we are embittered? No. He says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. As Christ loved the church, as Ephesians 5 says, that's by the authority of the Lord, not by human authority. Children, show that you're smarter than your parents and do whatever you want as long as your parents don't know anything about it. Is that what he says? That's what the schools tell us. That's what the world tells our children. That's not what it says. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's by the Lord's authority that children are to be obedient to parents, and parents must make it clear to children that there will be consequences for disobedience. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. Then Ephesians 6 and verse 1 follows in the same line, according to the Lord's authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's according to the word of the Lord, not by your own authority, not whatever you think, not whatever the world thinks, but according to the word and by the authority of the Lord who created us, who provides for us, who redeemed us in Jesus, and who will save our souls in eternity if we seek to remain faithful to Him and serve Him. There's an example in the Old Testament, even though we're not under the law of Moses, of how they were told to communicate to their children divine authority. And we should follow a similar example. When our children ask about the Lord's Supper or why we do things in this way, why don't we have instruments in worship like their friends have, or why don't we do whatever it is, we ought to be able to give a thus says the Lord to our children and tell them we want to follow what the Lord says. We don't want to follow what we think. We want to follow what He says. He is our Lord. He is our authority. His Word is our guide. Exodus 13 and verse 6, for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. You shall tell your son on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. And with a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Verse 14, and it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? Then you shall say to him, with a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons, he said, I redeem. In other words, they're telling the background of the Passover. We can tell the background of the Lord's Supper. This is the supper that our Lord, who died on the cross the next day for our sins, this is the supper that he told his disciples to follow after he went back to heaven, after his death and after his resurrection. And now he has, by his authority, told us that we should observe, remembering his death and looking forward to his coming again, and that we need him to forgive us of our sin, and we need to follow the new covenant that was brought about in his blood by the sacrifice that he made. That's what we can explain over and over again to our children, lest they come to believe that it's just an empty ritual that is not attached to anything except the habit of doing something. but in fact it is attached to the authority of the Word of God. And then the divine wisdom must be above human wisdom. Too many times we lose faith in what we don't trust in what God says, and we put our faith in what the world says when it comes to raising children or behaving in marriage or whatever it may be, and that leads to disaster. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How beautiful. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you meet somebody who doesn't fear God, you're looking at a person who might do anything to you. A person who does not fear God. And a person who will not listen to God is one that does not fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, he says. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is, look into that Word of God and understand what the Lord's will is so that we're guided by those things. Divine wisdom. Do you think any person is smarter than God? I've got to stop and ask that. Do you think any person is smarter than God? Then why would we follow them? Why would we follow them? God's wisdom is contained in His Word. God is all wise. All the wisdom that there is and can be or ever will be resides in God. We have none of it on our own except that which God graciously imparts to us by His Word. And everything that we do that is outside of God's wisdom is foolishness. Is foolishness. No matter how much we exalt ourselves, it is foolishness. Following the Word of God produces godly character that expresses godly values, godly ideas and attitudes and behaviors. As we develop these, we please God, and we influence others in our families and beyond to do the same. And so we don't have time to do all of this morning. We just have a few more points in our lesson, but we want to look at some of these godly values that come about from divine wisdom, making the application. The first one is trust God, trust in God and those who are godly. We need to teach our children this. Trust in God. And then those who are seeking to serve God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Beautiful. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And as we learn to trust God, we trust others who also are seeking to serve God. Marriages will not survive without this. Churches will not be in harmony without this trust. It will not happen. Families will not be righteous without this loving trust, but it's based upon trusting in God. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, love is patient. That is, huh? Say again. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is patient, that is long-suffering. Love is kind, is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. And that is the worldly love. Love is a selfish love that seeks its own. If it doesn't get what it wants, then it goes on to the next situation or person where it can get what it wants. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things. Now this has to do with trust. That is, believing the best in someone, but also trusting in God that we might realize that we should follow godly principles, but we trust that and pray for those to turn from their sins, but we trust, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The Apostle Paul writes an example in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. This is shortly before Paul's death. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. So don't trust Alexander because he doesn't trust God. He opposed me. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, the Apostle Paul says. Then he talks about the Lord delivering me, and he will deliver me into his heavenly kingdom. We don't have that written down, but we've read it in times past. But he talks about trusting in the Lord, but he trusted in Timothy and others too who were seeking to serve the Lord. And then finally in our lesson this morning, according to divine wisdom, give your heart to God. Give your heart to God by loving and reverencing Him each day. We only have time to talk about loving God today, and then we'll continue with this next time. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, a beautiful passage from the Old Testament that lets us know also that we need to be just as concerned about living and teaching the Word of God to our families and children and our daily activities at home. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you come to church on Sunday. Is that what he said? You shall talk of them only on the Sabbath. Is that what he said? You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. That is how pervasive the Word of God is to be our daily guide. The church does what it can to provide Bible classes as we have opportunity and ability and to do so. But the greatest and most powerful lessons are taught in the home. For either good or ill, they're taught in the home. And so he says, make sure the Word of God is your guide in the home, that your children know you are seeking to give your heart to God each day and that you want them to follow, that they might be pleasing to God as well. 1 John 5 and verse 3, For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments, he says, are not burdensome. That is, we say we love God, well, that is expressed only by submitting to God. We cannot love God if we're going to constantly rebel against God. And so our children need to understand that, and we need to show them, and we need to teach them. We don't cheat in school because the Word of God says that we ought not to steal. That's one of God's commandments, and He wants us to work hard, and He wants us to be generous and give, and we go on down the list. We come to worship because we want to honor God because He created us. He created us. And He provides every breath of life that we take, and He provides everything that we have, and He provides most of all forgiveness of sins and hope of eternal life. And so we go to praise Him and worship together with other Christians. Teach them to love God. Teach them to love God by keeping His commandments. That's the start of where we're headed in finishing these lessons that we hope to finish next week, Lord willing. But maybe you're here today and you're not a child of God, then you haven't given your heart to God. But it's not something that has to stay that way. There was one who was told that he was ready to obey God, that he believed Jesus to be the Son of God, and he was told, if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. If you're willing to believe in Jesus and turn away from your sins, then you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And he was. The very moment he believed. We're told to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive, in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and verse 38. If you're here this morning and need to become a Christian because you know you have sinned against God, then why not repent of your sins? Turn to the Lord and trust in Him enough to be immersed in water that you might be forgiven. Those of us who are already Christians, continue to repent. Continue to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. Humble ourselves each day. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. We need to continue to confess our sins that he might cleanse us of our sins by his blood, that we might continue in his grace and mercy. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and we're going to remind ourselves about the Lord, and if we are subject to that invitation, please come as we stand and as we sing. Let us stand. Number 75. You're the bride.